We're talking about mental health because my next guest is one of the founders of New Zealand's first mental health and well-being gym. It's in central Wellington, just down the road from where we are right now. It's called The Well. The founder is called Sarah Tuck, and she's with me now. Kia ora, Sarah.
Kia ora.
Lovely to have you on.
Hey, thanks.
The gym suggests physical activity. Is that what you're about?
Well, not exactly. Well, yeah, physical activity happens, but the more intended purpose is create opportunities for people to connect with their mental health through relaxation, reflecting on our, you know, day-to-day experiences, expression, and connecting with others.
I was talking about physical fitness before. Do you think there's such a thing? Is there such a thing as mental fitness?
Yes, I do. I think the word fitness implies that, you know, there's something that needs to be improved. And I think with mental health, a lot of the time it's all around actually accepting how we are on any given day. And it doesn't always have to be improved.
Yeah.
But there is also knowing that on the mental health continuum, you can actually lift your mood or kind of improve how you're feeling in a day-to-day way. So finding ways to do that.
You're right about the one of the drives of physical fitness is to do lift some more weights, to get up a steeper hill, to go faster, to run faster, to swim more lengths.
Mm. And we do it to feel good because, you know, feeling fit, we feel good in our body.
But yet, in mental fitness, in terms of just thinking about what upsets me, often it will be that I didn't do that, you know? My superego is perched on the shoulder there saying, you didn't do that, you failed.
Mm.
That's not so helpful though, is it?
Yeah. Would you call that your inner critic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another way, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can be a strong voice depending on how we are at any given moment. And sometimes you can, you know, lean in to accept that voice and listen to it and build a general awareness around what that voice is and then look to find ways to reframe that inner critic or, yeah. And where do you go to do that is the question. It's like there's actually no spaces that exist within New Zealand apart from in a social way to connect with actually what our inner dialogue is on a everyday level and then connect with someone else to shift it.
What would I find at The Well?
Well, that. Ways to do that. Tools, skills, people, group classes, group sessions, ways to reflect on our everyday experiences and things like our voice within.
And how might that work? So I'm thinking of some things that people try. Perhaps, I mean, meditation is one thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you might find at The Well?
Yes, definitely find that at The Well. Meditation, there's also active mindfulness. So for those of us who are, busy, like to do and are active relaxers, you know, I can't relax unless I'm going for a walk or I'm doing something with my hands. So that could be, you know, mindfulness with clay sculpting or with bead threading or, yeah. So the form can look completely different, but the purpose is to relax through doing. There's also like moves and grooves, which is just connecting with your body and actually moving in a way that's not, you know, you don't have to be a professional dancer to move your body. You don't have to be an athlete. It's just finding ways to express using the body.
Rather than maybe an aerobic session.
Totally.
It is a moving to music to sound session instead.
Yeah, yeah, like movement meditation or, just setting intention that's more purposeful rather than, you know, to gain muscle or to, yeah.
But we can strengthen that part of the mind that is able to accept and I guess rather than coming back down on itself like a ton of bricks, accept and then try again or move on or not dwell on the pain but acknowledge the pain. Am I making any sense here?
Absolutely. Definitely to me. I think it's a practice, you know, and that's where the gym comes in is that most people go every week to a gym to maintain a level of fitness and actually to connect with ourselves. It is a practice. We can we should be doing it every day, every week, finding ways and to keep on understanding how we are at any given moment, to be able to thrive in our lives and be able to be more outward with people and connect and show up to our relationships and show up to our obligations and show up to our responsibilities. You know, when we are feeling unwell, it's harder to show up to these things. So how can we build space to be able to turn back towards our lives?
Why the need for a space? Because some of the things that we've talked about, one could do, you can meditate at home, or you can go to meditation courses or classes or sessions. One could go to church. Maybe that's another thing. One can go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing a lot of people, I think, rediscovered during the lockdown last year, the efficacy of walking, just walking, and not much else. Why the need, do you think, for a space dedicated to all these things?
It's really interesting. I think motivation is really interesting. Like, it's, for me, sometimes I'm like, oh, I know I need to connect with someone. I've identified this need as that I'm seeking a friend or I'm seeking someone to talk to. And for the life of me, picking up the phone can be so hard. And what is the motivation that connects us from what we need to actually going and getting it? That's where actually a space and different opportunity to, you know, provide that connection and connect with other people. It just doesn't exist anywhere in New Zealand at the moment. As you say, definitely in terms of church and definitely in terms of these...
Or monastery or...
Yeah,
or
but they...
Mosque
they,
or whatever.
They come with... it. You have to show up in a certain way, right? You have to... you don't have to be religious to go to church, but...
It is kind of telling you that you should follow these rules.
You are going to follow these rules, whereas... And it's the same thing, like... You can't just go to a bar because you have to buy a drink. And a lot of our social infrastructure is set up around, consuming food or consuming alcohol.
Mm. In order to interact with others.
Or consuming God, maybe.
Yes.
It's like, where's the social infrastructure where you can turn up just as you are and be treated with unconditional positive regard and partake in, you know, opportunities that enable you to relax and reflect and connect with other people and express yourself, and then take 60 minutes to fill up your cup and then you can leave again, you know.
Are you a mental trainer, mental fitness trainer at the gym, at the Well?
Not a direct correlation between like
really
personal training.
I'm
going to
really work on the, I don't know what part of the brain helps with resilience, but, you know, like you could work, I'm going to make your abs.
Yeah. I think there's definitely all of the coaches and hosts at the Well will encourage you to figure out what you need. So it is all comes from you. What is it that you need? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're desiring? Like, are you looking for ways to relax? Are you looking for ways to reflect? Then I suggest you come along to these sessions and see how they go. Try something out. Try something different. It's such a new idea that it's actually providing a different way for people to engage with those things, because what people usually do is go, oh, I've had such a busy day at work. I need to relax. I'm going to go home and have a beer. And it's like, yeah, totally.
Which
that's
is,
a normal part
I'm
of
laughing,
our culture.
Yes.
and it's really, but it's like, That's how drinking culture exists, is because that's really one of the most accessible ways for us to relax in that way. Where are the other ways to relax that aren't going to church, aren't going to a bar, aren't going to, you know, an exclusive women's centre? Like, where's the spaces that just anybody could show up? Anybody, you don't have to be, you don't have to identify with having mental health challenges. You don't have to understand mental health at all. That's the purpose, is to engage in these things that we know contribute towards positive mental health.
Is there a model that you're working on here for the gym, for the Well?
Well, the model is what do you mean by model?
By that, I mean, is there anything existing anywhere else which you're saying that's what we want us to try here?
Well, that's where the gym comes in, is that, well, if you think of gym culture, right, and fitness culture, there was one guy that said, you know, that started going running for fun, and everyone was like, what is happening? The only reason we run is when we're running away from something scary. And suddenly that's built up this culture that is, you know, now running, it's really normal to go for a run in your lunch hour. It's yes. almost encouraged and accepted. And the same with the gym, you know, fitness culture built up with like Jane Fonda in the 80s, and then suddenly everyone was doing fitness and aerobics yes. class in their lunch hours, and it became a thing, and people got really hooked on it and addicted to it, and then that movement has turned into gyms. And actually mental health, I think it's much behind, it's been so categorized as mental illness, you're either unwell or you're not. And actually, what if we viewed mental health as if you could, you know, it could be a part of that gym culture also, where it was normal, even cool, to take an hour out of your day to go and, to go and relax, to go and, you know, reflective write what your emotions are and what your feelings are, and then go back to work. It's like actually building ways that is really normal, and that's why we're like, oh, it's a gym for your mental health, because, well, gyms are normal.
I've got a text here from, they haven't left a name, which is a shame, because it's an interesting one. A library meets that definition of a relaxing space for all. And I think that's a good, for some people, definitely, that is what a library does. Mm-hmm. You just go there and sit and read, look for things to read, browse around. There's no maybe for some, for that and that way. There's no pressure to achieve anything. Maybe.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that the library next door is currently. Yes,
that's right. It's not so available to Wellingtonians at the moment, and that's not the only library in the country at the moment struggling. I think pretty sure I read the Invercargill Library's shut at the moment.
But that's the thing, is that also what I wouldn't go into. I think there's also the need to connect with other people, because connection really, it's that ecosystem of support and building peer relationships, and actually opportunities to really connect with others is really important for our well-being. And in a library, I go in there and I have to sit silently and read my own book, and it's solo activity. And yeah, I can listen to a podcast in there, but if I start talking to someone, it's like, can you not disturb me while I'm trying to find, you know,
That issue, that dilemma, say in the well, I assume there's quiet space, if one wants to be quiet, but also you're talking about the importance of connecting with others, and also the importance of physical activity, whatever that might be, moving to music. So how do you incorporate all those things into the same space?
Well, the well runs on a timetable of hour, 45-minute to hour-long group sessions or group classes. There's 10 per week, and they, mornings, lunchtimes, and evenings throughout the working week. And so there, it's mainly a space where you come along and you're around other people. So they are like group sessions. Yeah. And there are opportunities for you to connect with yourself among other people. So you don't have to directly connect. But then some sessions are with the intended purpose to connect with other people.
You book a time with a group, so you book a session rather than just drop in. Or can you do both?
So you'd come along to a class. So like, you'd be like, oh look, 12:30 there's yoga. I'm going to book in for that. I'm going to go. Yeah. Oh look, 5:30 there's a moves and groove session. I'm going to go along to that because I've identified that I feel like moving.
It's
just
not
shaking
quite
off the workday.
Like a gym where you can go to classes for physical fitness, pump or kickboxing or whatever it is, but one can also go and just lift weights and at any time, as long as the machines. There's not so much that. It's more of the class.
Yeah, not
and,
so much.
And
that.
Doing it with a group. Even if it's meditation and doing something silently on your own, you'd enroll for that particular activity.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. What I was trying to get at is, do you know if anyone's tried this anywhere else in the world?
Well, interestingly, so 5 years ago when we first started looking at this idea, we found, so I have two other co-founders, Bob Murdoch and Jody Burrell, and we were connecting over, you know, we actually were like, well, does anyone else do this? And we actually found three men in London who had the same thing, wanting to build the first mental health gym in the world. And we were like, oh, wow, there's the three men in London and there's three women here in New Zealand, and who's going to do it first? And then we were like, oh, well, they're actually doing it. And then when I went over to London and to have a look, because they have this beautiful picture of this mental health gym on High Street, in the streets of London. And when I got there, I went to High Street to have a look, and I looked around and I was like, well, where is it? I can't find it anywhere. And turns out it was just a vision of theirs, and that they haven't actually built the building yet. That's just their vision. And so then I became quite validated knowing that we are building the first mental health gym in the world. But
they weren't performance artists, were they?
Oh, I think they're legit. I'm half joking,
but the reason I'm is because somebody else has suggested maybe art galleries also fulfill or could fulfill this role as well. Maybe you could be an adjunct to a gallery.
Interesting. I used to work at a gallery, and I know that there's it's a way where you can create a sense of spaciousness and engaging in something else that maybe isn't work or isn't your home life. So in that sense, yes, but and definitely going to a gallery will have benefits to your mental health, but you don't go to a gallery to work on your mental health.
Mm.
You go to a gallery to probably see art or to take space or to feel inspired or, you know, but to actually go to a mental health gym, you're going with the intended purpose to connect with your mental health.
And that's perhaps because I think what you're trying to do here, you are trying also to encourage people to do something and make it, I guess, a process or to have a focus.
Yeah.
And the space is the focus. And this is the experiment you're trying. Because you don't know. The well hasn't officially opened yet, has it?
Well, we've run other versions of it in the past and definitely seen the benefits of an intentional space.
And the turnout? You got the people turning up?
Got the people turning up.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, our crowdfunding campaign, which is about to close, we've just had 300 people pledge at the moment, and most of those have bought 6-month passes. We've got two lifetime members. We've got lots of people who have bought, as rewards, free passes or 2-week passes to come along and try it out. And so there's generally, yeah, and then we have a massive following of people who have just been invested in this idea since the get-go, because it's been 5 years in the making to build a permanent service.
Right. Is it open now, the well, or you formally opening?
On the 12th of July.
Okay, yeah. So it's just a few weeks away now.
A few weeks away.
Is there any link to, have you already got classes outlined?
Outlined, yep. They're all on the website.
Right, okay. Yeah, and we'll get a link to that and put that up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, totally.
Or not. Are you hoping that maybe one day there'll be mental health gyms in most towns?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like this is the start. And that's the hope, is that there will be, and if not us, then other people creating these intentional spaces to connect with, you know, to help people connect with their mental health. Just in the same way that there's gyms all throughout New Zealand. It's not the same company providing the same gym, but there's lots of different versions of it now. There's CrossFit, there's so many different versions of it.
There are people coming through with various examples now of what they do to look after themselves.
Oh, great.
But again, see, I don't go to a gym. I wouldn't want to go to a gym. But I ride a bike. And as I said before, that's my physical fitness. And I do other things, I guess, in terms of my mental health, but maybe could do more. But physical fitness, riding up a hill every night after work, does it for me.
Great.
But I think that for those who don't have that, you know, there is a gym or a swimming pool.
And that's the thing. It's like whatever works for you, you know, not saying that the gym is the answer for everyone. But if you are looking for an intentional space to connect and relax and help you facilitate that for yourself to feel well, then, yeah, come along and try it out and see if it works. But actually, yeah, we need to normalise that support is for everybody. We're all worthy of support, and whatever that support looks like, and encouraging people to choose a support pathway that's not just relaxing with a beer after work? How can we actually choose something else or look at something else to connect with ourselves in that way?
And I know, Sarah, that everyone is different, but what is the thing that's improved your mental fitness the most over the last few years?
Definitely, I think reflection is a big one for me. So actually, it was a big encouragement to start to write down, like, they call it, there's this thing called the artist's way, and she talks about doing morning pages, and I kind of adopted it and turned it into my own thing, where every morning I would just kind of freehand write how I am, or just things that are on top, and just get into pen flow, basically. And that practice then really started to create a lot of headspace, where it was almost like, someone described it to me once, like your morning dump. It's like actually just letting it all out, and then it creates space to be able to, yeah, I've got more headspace to engage with my work and things that inspire me and connect with other people. And yeah, building up that practice of reflection was really like self-induced. So I like had a way to do that. And then when we started at the previous versions of the gym, when we would have reflective writing as a session, and there was a chosen theme, which is around, it just became more focused and, yeah, cemented the practice for me. It was great.
Sarah, it's been lovely talking with you. Okay, Thanks so much for coming in. That's Sarah Tuck. She's one of the founders of The Well, a mental health, well, gym's one way of describing it. Space could be another.